Question. Did you ever, ever, ever think that every ant you've ever seen must be a princess or a prince, because its mother is a queen? Remember me, Buzz the Bee. I am also royalty.
This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, October 8th, 2008. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the new Children's Poet Laureate. At the Pegasus Awards last night in Chicago, the Poetry Foundation named Mary Ann Hoberman the nation's second Children's Poet Laureate. The award comes with a $25,000 prize. Mary Ann Hoberman will serve as an advisor to the Poetry Foundation on children's literature and may engage in a variety of projects and events to help instill a love of poetry among the nation's youngest readers. Now, if you're not a parent or a child, you may not have even heard of Mary Ann Hoberman. So separate is the world of children's poetry from the poetry world. A house is a house for me, the seven silly eaters, the llama who had no pajama. Children and parents will recognize the names of many of her 45 books, all but one of them written in verse. Mary Ann Hoberman is a grandmother, and I have joined her in the fairly noisy apartment of her daughter and grandchildren in New York City. Congratulations on the award.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So at the very top of the show, we heard a short poem of yours. And before we get started in talking about children's poetry in general, I want to see if I can get you to read another one from your book, The Llama Who Had No Pajama.
I'd love to. This one does what I do in a lot of my poems. I take words in two senses. Sometimes they're puns. Sometimes they just have double meanings. And when I go into schools or I read it to kids in libraries, etc., they kind of listen. They do a double take at the end, and then they go, oh, and they get it.
Uh-huh.
So let's see if you guys get it. Okay. It's called Waiters. Dining with his older daughter, Dad forgot to order water. Daughter quickly called the waiter. Waiter said he'd bring it later. So she waited, did the daughter, till the waiter brought her water. When he poured it for her later, which one would you call the waiter?
I get it.
Okay, that's good.
So how do you know when a poem works that you've written for children? Is it because of the act of reading it in front of an audience that you see the reaction, or how do you know?
No. What I've done now, I'm of an advanced age now. I've been doing this for a long, long time. But when I started writing when I had children of my own. But I wasn't really observing them so much as remembering what it was to be a child myself and knowing that it was collaborated with these, you know, by these little children of mine. And there seemed to be a correspondence between what I loved to write and what I wrote most easily and what children enjoyed. And that's been the sort of basis, I guess, for my career.
Yeah.
I think that probably children's writers, or many of them anyway, are people who have almost total recall of their own childhoods. And maybe the ones who write for young people or the teenagers, that's the period of their life that they go back to. I go back to my elementary school years and the years just before.
Why do you suppose? Because I have almost no recall of my childhood.
It's so interesting. My husband doesn't either.
Yeah.
I can tell you the name of every single teacher that I had in elementary school. I can tell you where I sat, where my desk was. I can tell you the names of friends. But Nabokov, in his autobiography, Speak Memory, talks, to paraphrase him very generally, he talks about using up your memories, the memories that a writer has that he or she draws on. So as I've written each one of my poems, I've kind of used it up.
What do you mean, used it up? You can't.
Won't write about it. I can have a little memory of, there's one poem, for example, about watching the ants. I like to watch the ants at work while I am out at play, and I talk about what I see. And I remember so vividly, I'd sit at the base of our maple tree in the front of our house, and the ants would be crawling into their little ant holes, and I'd watch them, and then I'd plug up the holes and wait to see how they'd get out again. But once I wrote that poem, I'm not going to write about that anymore. And it's almost as if it isn't as vivid a memory for me anymore.
I want to see, I read to my daughter this morning, yeah, the one about called Mosquito on page 46. And I was wondering if I can get you to read that one.
Sure.
By the way, I don't know whether it's just my daughter, but she's fascinated by bugs.
Bugs are interesting because when I was a kid, I was both scared of them and loved them, fascinated by them. I had what I called my animal hospital, and it was in the back of our garage. There was an old dusty table, and I would take Daddy Long Legs there and pull off a leg. I would cut worms in two and watch them, you know, all these quite horrible things I did with great pleasure. But I was scared of certain bugs. And then the boy next door, whom I worshipped, he was a little older than I was. Uh-huh. And he showed me how to take a butterfly and fold the wings back so I could hold them and look in the little face of the butterfly, which is so human looking.
Right.
And so then I grew up. And I had a friend, and I was trying to think of what am I going to write next. And Gunilla, my friend, said, why don't you write a book about bugs? And so I went around. I got those little bug boxes that you can get, those with the magnifying glass, little plastic.
Yep.
And I would find a bug, put it in the box, and write a poem about it. And so Mosquito is one of those poems. Mosquito. Oh, Mrs. Mosquito, quick. Biting me, please. I'm happy my blood type with your type agrees. I'm glad that my flavor has met with your favor. I'm touched by your care. Yes, I'm touched everywhere, on my arms and my legs, on my elbows and knees, till I cannot tell which is the itchiest itch or which itch in the batch needs the scratchiest scratch. Your taste for my taste is the reason for these. So, Mrs. Mosquito, quit biting me, please.
It's wonderful. I have to ask, though, were the bugs in that little container, were they dead?
No, then I let them out again.
Then I let them out again.
Phew. Feed them. And I have a very Buddhist idea about bugs, except for mosquitoes, I'm afraid.
Right. Yeah.
I learned a lot when I wrote this book, which is lots of fun when you learn things when you're when you're writing. But that brings me in another subject. I do not really like didactic.
I was going to say, poetry. That's the one criticism I have of a lot of the stuff that I read to my daughter.
Yeah.
I can't stand
it.
I can't stand the lessons they impart are so banal anyway.
Absolutely. And you know, with something like this, though, you could call it didactic. You're learning a little bit about mosquitoes.
But it's not. It's
not moralistic. And also, it's funny.
You know, the Poetry Foundation did a study that determined that the one thing that's going to predict if you become an adult reader of poetry is if you were a poetry reader as a kid. Is that true in your experience with you?
Well, certainly in my own personal experience, it's true. And I believe that it makes good sense, right? A lot of people will grow up and maybe they were exposed to poetry as children and they then leave it behind them. But there's a kind of a fertile field there, so that if they pick it up again, if something comes along, you know, that interests them, it will have been prepared.
And the pleasure that can be had in rhyme and rhythm.
Well, children, I mean, my God, now my little grandson, Ian, for example, he's been rhyming since he could speak.
Hmm.
He just loves rhymes. Yeah. He makes up nonsense rhymes. They aren't even words before he knew those words. And all children love to do that.
You said something very interesting last night at the awards ceremony. You said that if you had been born decades earlier, you might have been writing poetry or light verse for adults.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I have. It isn't that I've written quote unquote adult poems and had some of them published, but those poems were pretty much in form.
Right. You like form.
I like form. Yeah. I really respond to Robert Frost, remember, who said writing free verse is like playing tennis without a net.
Right.
And I like that net.
You know, I want to get you to read one more poem
and
it's on the same page as Mosquito.
Yeah.
And it was the most beautiful poem, graceful poem, sounding poem in the entire book.
That's wonderful that you say that, Curtis, because when people talk to me, I always say, you know, I write verse. When I grew up, when I was a little girl, poetry to me was such an exalted calling that I really, except for very few things, I wouldn't call what I write poetry. But I always make an exception for this poem.
Is that right?
And
this one.
I think that this poem, it's one of the most favorite things that I've ever written. Mm-hmm. And I love it very much. And it means a lot to me. It's called Mayfly. Think how fast a year flies by, a month flies by, a week flies by. Think how fast a day flies by. A mayfly's life lasts but a day. A single day to live and die, a single day. How fast it goes. The day, the mayfly, both of those. A mayfly flies a single day, the daylight dies and darkness grows. A single day, how fast it flies. A mayfly's life, how fast it goes.
Marianne Hoberman, thanks so much.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Marianne Hoberman is the new Children's Poet Laureate. Her next book is called All Kinds of Families, which Little Brown Books for Young Readers is publishing in 2009. You can find out a lot more about her on our website, poetryfoundation.org. We always want to hear what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet, and the noise in this podcast comes courtesy of New York City. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.